Good morning. Thank you, Nathan, for the songs. I'd imagine whatever message you open from the Word of God, singing about the amazing grace of God and singing about our Redeemer will be appropriate. So thank you for that. Shall we just pause for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming together to worship you, to sit around the emblems that you established, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing songs of praises unto you, have fellowship one with another. Thank you for the privilege now of opening your word. Father, you've promised that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And Father, it's in that confidence that we open your word this morning. Pray that you would speak to each one of us, minister to our needs, and help us to listen, help us to obey. Father, bless us today, we pray. We ask this in and through the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been intrigued by the book of Philemon. Philemon is the smallest or the shortest epistle that Paul has written. Paul wrote 13 epistles or letters, and he wrote 4 prison epistles: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And Philemon is the smallest of these. It was written approximately around 62 AD. We, in our studies through Acts, we saw Paul being taken to Rome. He appeals to Caesar, and he's taken to Rome. He's not expecting justice in Israel, so he appeals to Caesar, and he's been taken to Rome, and he's in prison in Rome. And he's using that time profitably. He's preaching, he's evangelizing, he's teaching. He's writing letters to the churches that he has established or the other churches around. Now, this letter is written by Paul to a dear brother in a city called Colossae in Asia Minor, which is current-day Turkey. It's a very personal letter. Paul had not visited Colossae. However, there was a young man from Colossae that went to Ephesus, a young man called Epaphras. He went from Colossae to Ephesus, and he heard Paul speaking, and he came to know the Lord. He accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. Paul disciples Epaphras, and Epaphras goes to Colossae, and he plants a church there. Now, since Paul had not gone to Colossae, and Paul mentions that Philemon was his son, which is son in the Lord, somehow Philemon came to know the Lord, and it could be through Epaphras, or it could be that Philemon, who was a businessman, went to Ephesus and heard the gospel from Paul himself. And he believes and comes back to Colossae. Now, the story is quite interesting. Philemon is a profitable businessman or a good businessman, if you will. And with a little sanctified imagination, we can think of here's a wealthy man who has traveled on business to Ephesus, heard the gospel, and he comes back to his home. And what does he do? He first shares it with his wife. His wife hears the gospel and accepts and becomes a believer. Then he talks to his son. And his son, Aristarchus, hears the gospel and believes. And what next? He's the wealthy person in town. He opens up his home, and they start a local assembly in Colossae. And that's where they are meeting. Philemon's name means the affectionate one. Philemon was a wealthy businessman, and he had slaves. And one of these slaves was a man named Onesimus. And the meaning of Onesimus means profitable one. The profitable one. Now, you think of Onesimus. He's at home, and all of a sudden his master comes from a trip. He's all religious now. He's talking about Jesus Christ, and he's talking about saving people's lives, and he's now starting a local assembly in the home. Now, wait a minute, we were busy already, and now there's a church in our home. I don't know how many of you have been to a home church, but if you're in a home church on Sunday mornings, you have to start getting chairs ready, putting chairs together, getting the elements ready, and in those days, you were probably squeezing grapes to make the wine, and that's what you were doing. So, and then after the meeting, they were probably had a meal. Here's all the people in the town, whoever is believers have come in. There's a lot of work. And this Onesimus says, wait a minute. My master has become a believer. He was already the affectionate one. And now he's become a believer. He's become a Christian. This is probably a good time for me to escape from here. He's going to forgive me. He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about a God who forgives. This is the perfect time for me to make my escape. And sure enough, one Sunday afternoon, he probably sees the offering plate, offering lying in one corner or whatever, some money that Philemon has stored away. He grabs the money and makes for the door. He escapes from Colossae. Now, if you are an escaped slave whose punishment is death, where would you go? He goes to the biggest city close by, which is Rome. He travels to Rome and he thinks he can get lost in Rome. It's a huge city. Onesimus felt he was not free, so he was going to this big city where he thought he was going to be free. The grass would be greener in Rome. But before long, he found out that the people at Rome were slaves too. Slaves to their sin. There was no freedom in Rome. He probably felt like the prodigal son and thought about his master. And when he would have thought about his master, he would have probably heard that his master saying, you know, I heard the gospel from a man called Paul. And he's all of a sudden heard that Paul is in Rome. Paul is in a prison, is in home confinement. And he's speaking to people. So he finds his way to Paul. Or he was a thief. He must have tried to steal some more and ended up in prison himself. We don't know how exactly Onesimus got to meet Paul, but he does meet Paul. When he meets with Paul, he becomes a believer. He hears the gospel and he accepts the Lord as his personal Savior. He's a servant, he's a slave, and he says, wait a minute, I can now help my new master. I'm going to start serving Saul, I'm going to start serving Paul. So he starts helping Paul, and he is a tremendous help to Paul while Paul was in prison. Paul was enjoying the fellowship and support of Onesimus. Onesimus was living up to his name, the profitable one. Now, not sure how the topic of Philemon came up. Was Onesimus feeling guilty about his past? Wanted to come clean with Paul? Did he think he needed to make restitution, work of the Holy Spirit that had changed his life? Is the Holy Spirit talking to him about unresolved issues in his life? Is the Holy Spirit talking to each one of us about unresolved issues in our life? Things that have not been settled from the past. Let us not quench the Holy Spirit as he continues to work in our lives. Now, Onesimus comes to tell Paul, I've got to tell you something, Paul. I am a runaway slave. Paul says, what? A runaway slave? Where did you run away from? Oh, I was a slave in Colossae. Colossae? Whose slave were you? Philemon's. Philemon? I know Philemon. He's my son in the faith. Wow. What do I do now? Paul is enjoying Onesimus' service. He is serving him. And if you read in the book, you'd see he's doing an amazing service for Paul. But Onesimus has now come and told him that he is a runaway slave. He's stolen money. Paul, what does the gospel say? Make restitution, repentance, turn back, and go and make restitution. So Paul has to do the right thing, and he tells him what needs to be done. Each one of us in our lives have had situations like that. I've had one very recently where someone came to me and told me about struggles that they were having in their life and that they wanted to go back and work through situations. And it's something that the conversation continues. Do we go back and settle issues that were wrong in our lives? At what cost are we willing to do that? Paul here recommends that Onesimus goes back. But he says, wait a minute, I'll send a letter with you. You can go and give a letter from me personally to Philemon. Paul himself had to make a sacrifice in order to do the right thing. Now, Epaphras is in jail with Paul. He's been talking about everything that's happening in Colossae, all the wonderful things that are happening in Colossae, and there are some false teachers in there. So is that how Onesimus remembered Philemon and remembered the fact that he had stolen from there? Not sure. But Paul is writing a letter to Colossae. He sends Tychicus with it, and he sends Onesimus along with another letter for Philemon. God can use people like Paul here for Onesimus to get our attention. And I was trying to think about a few other situations where God wanted to get people's attention, and we know about the story of David. And God sends Nathan to get David's attention. Or we think of the burning bush. Moses sees the burning bush. God gets Moses' attention and calls him to go back to Egypt and deliver his people. We were recently reading about Balaam. God uses a donkey to get Balaam's attention while he's going to Balak trying to curse Israel if the Lord lets him. We've been hearing over the past few weeks about Jonah. God uses a storm. God uses a whale. God uses a vine to get Jonah's attention. We remember the story when we studied Daniel, how Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind and roamed around like an animal for 7 years. God uses different things. God may use our parents, God may use our children, God may use our elders, our friends, our health, our situations in life to speak to us. Let us each examine our life. Is God trying to get our attention? Let us listen. Listen to what he has to tell us. Now, can you imagine the scene of Tychicus and Onesimus coming toward Philemon's house? You see Aphia, his wife, saying, wait a minute, Philemon, there are two people coming to our house. And Philemon comes saying, I wonder who they are. And they get closer and they recognize Tychicus. And he says, oh, that's Brother Tychicus. He's coming. He might be having some word for us from Paul. They come closer and Aphia says, wait a minute, do you see who the second person is? He's that thief. He's Onesimus. And Philemon is now riled up. He's trying to figure out what he should do. They both come to the door. You can imagine Philemon saying, Tychicus, why don't you come on in and sit down, rest. And Onesimus, you stand out while I try to figure out what I'm going to do with you. But then Tychicus says, wait a minute. Onesimus has a letter for you from Paul too. Onesimus has a letter for me from Paul? Yes. Onesimus hands over the letter, and that's where we are. Shall we turn to Philemon and read the book of Philemon? It's one chapter. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as poor, an old man, he's 60 years old, by the way, and I turned 60 this year. Oh, he's around 60. Old man. And now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So it's easily identified as a prison epistle, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus, Christ Jesus. He does not say, Paul, a prisoner of Rome. He is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. When we run into tough situations in our lives, can you imagine if we could confidently say what I'm going through is for Christ? I know all things work together for good to those that love God. I know He knows everything. I know nothing happens without His knowledge. I know He will see me through. Can we have, or do we have, that confidence? Philemon's wife, Apphia, and Archippus also come to know the Lord. He's a wealthy man in this big house, opens his house to his local church. He has a guest room that's set apart for visiting believers. His son is called a fellow soldier for the cross, boldly standing up for the truth. What a blessing when the whole family is serving and worshiping the Lord together. What an amazing thing when the whole family believes. We have the story of the Philippian jailer. He and his family believed when Paul and Silas shared the gospel with them. We also know of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, that family worshiping and praising God together. We also know that in the Lord's family itself, it took a long time for them to come to know him as the Savior. Are we serious in our witness to our families? Are we concerned about our children or our parents if we see them going astray? This letter is written to Philemon, Apphia, Archippus, and to the church that meets in his home. This is sort of like a commendation letter, if you will, something that we don't seem to see often today for some reason. But here was a commendation, that letter that Paul is sending, and he's sending Onesimus with it, so that not only Philemon and his family can welcome him back, but also the church. Epaphras, who heard the gospel in Ephesus, is with Paul. He has been sharing about the people in Colossae. And we see in verse 4 to 7, we have an appreciation for who Philemon is. His faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His love for all the saints. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement. Even while Paul is in prison, he's encouraged by what he's hearing about Philemon. You, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Do we recognize and appreciate fellow believers while they are alive, or do we wait for the casket to be in front of us before we start praising those around us or even acknowledging what those around us are doing for us? Let us actively appreciate and encourage one another. When was the last time we did this? We do have people here that do that and express it, and let's keep doing it, and let's be encouraged to do it as we see Paul doing. Can people recognize our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we run into tough situations? Can people see our love for all the saints at Northwest or in our neighborhoods? Are we refreshing the hearts of the saints? What does that mean? Are we a blessing to those around, refreshing the saints, encouraging, building up? Hospitality, a glass of cold water. That reminds me, I think I should take a sip right now. Sorry. Do we share a verse? Do we comfort one another? Do we comfort those who are in sorrow? Do we support missions work? Are we caring for the lost? I just got a letter last week from someone in India who has been meeting in their home, and they are finding it difficult right now. They're finding it dangerous for them to have believers in their home, and they're looking for a place to worship. They're asking for help to do to build a church. There are believers all around us in need. What are we doing about it? Are we refreshing the saints? Look at Paul's prayer for Philemon in verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Active in sharing the faith. What does that mean? Sharing the gospel, being involved in ministries, taking opportunities to speak to one another. Are we active in, are we acting out our faith? Are we the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in our church, in our neighborhood? Are we acting out our faith? What needs to happen if we had to share our faith? We have to study God's word. We have to know what we believe. We have to examine our own beliefs. We can't share the gospel if we ourselves are not convinced of it. Do we know what we believe? Can we defend what we believe? We need to have confidence in what we believe. And when we see souls saved by the Holy Spirit, then we will have a full understanding, as Paul tells Philemon, of every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. For us to know every good thing we have in Christ Jesus, we have to be sharing our faith. We are going to miss this if we are not being witnesses. Now Paul pleads for Onesimus from verse 8 on. Paul believes that he can order Philemon. It's his son in the faith. He owes his very life to me. I really could just order him. But instead of doing that, he decides to just work with him and do it in love. He could have done it as a spiritual father. He could have done it as an older person, as a prisoner of Christ. He could have ordered Philemon to do this. But he, in verse 9, says, I appeal to you on the basis of love. Appeal for my son Onesimus. Formerly, verse 11, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. He does a play on the word Onesimus itself, talking about him being profitable, whom Philemon probably thought was useless because he ran away. And now he is useful both to Paul and to Philemon. He can be useful to Philemon. In verse 12, the useless one is now, as Paul refers to him, who is my very heart back to you. Here's someone that Philemon probably thinks is a horrible thief who ran away in spite of the good home that he gave him. Here, Paul refers to him as the one who is my very heart back to you. Onesimus has become a huge blessing and help to Paul during his imprisonment. In the difficult situation that he was in, Onesimus was a blessing. I was having a very hard time trying to figure out someone who is that important to me. Or, for that matter, if I have ever been that important to anyone else, where they would say, this person is my very heart. What has become of us? Do we know how to love the brethren? Have we become so self-sufficient and self-serving and self-centered that we're not experiencing the true love of the brethren at all? Verse 13 says, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Now that Paul knows Onesimus belonged to Philemon, he wanted to make sure that Philemon had Onesimus back. And then, if he so desired, he could send Onesimus back to help Paul and be a help to him. Paul encourages Philemon to think of what's happened as something that was good. Something good has happened. Perhaps he was separated from you for a while. Not that he ran away from you. He was separated from you for a while so that you did not need to have him back as a slave, but as a dear brother. Now, I'm presuming no one here has a slave in their home. Or when they grew up, they didn't have one. So this relationship is it's sort of difficult for us to understand. In India, we did have people that come home and helped us do a lot of work in the house, and we've had some very good people that have helped us, and some bad ones, and some that have even stolen from us. But I still get a sense of how this would have been difficult for Philemon to do. Those who worked with us never really ate with us. They came and worked and went. They didn't come and sit with us in the living room or sit in the dining room with us or on the dinner table with us. I'm sure there are some Downton Abbey fans here, and we've probably seen that play out on that show where Mr. Carson, John Bates, Mrs. Patmore never really sat and ate with the Crawleys. They did all the work around the house and went into the kitchen or into their own rooms. And we also know how difficult it was for Tom Branson, the chauffeur, when he got involved with the daughter, got married, how difficult it was for them to accept him into their family. We probably got glimpses of the struggle that Philemon would have had when he saw Onesimus and he had this request from Paul. This is what Paul is asking Philemon to do. Accept Onesimus as he would have accepted Paul. Here's this man standing outside the door. I need to call him, let him sit with me and have dinner with me. He's someone that was my slave and he's stolen from me and he ran away. Sometimes or often, we are so caught up with the past, with the hurt that someone has inflicted on us, that we cannot move forward. It seems impossible to build relationships. Let us examine our lives and see if there could be Onesimus-like relationships, type relationships that we have waiting to happen, people that we can have a better relationship with in spite of what happened earlier in life. Let us also examine how we welcome people that might have had a past. Do we always receive them with a question mark on their back? Still examining, still deciding if we really should accept them? That is what's happening here. Paul, however, has done the vetting and is vouching for Onesimus. Verse 17 says, "So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self." Very slides that in there for Philemon. Paul is communicating a very important rule. If we have wronged someone, we need to pay it back. If we owe a debt to someone, we need to pay it back. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Paul here is agreeing to pay the debts of Onesimus. He says, "Charge it to me." The letter was like an IOU from Paul. Paul says in verse 19, "I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back." Paul generally dictates letters and has other people write them, but here, this letter to Philemon, he writes himself, making it a personal IOU from him to Philemon. I believe in verse 20 and 21, Paul is asking for Onesimus to be sent back to Rome to serve him while he's in prison. Paul wanted to make sure that he has Onesimus make amends with Philemon, and then if Philemon was happy to send him, he was happy to have him back. And then Paul goes on in verse 22 to express his desire to visit Colossae. He decides that he wants to go back. He hears that they're praying that Paul is released from prison, and he believes in an answer to prayer and asks Philemon to prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Hospitality. Are we ready to open our homes? There is great sacrifice in it and great reward. I have heard of testimonies of children coming to know the Lord from visiting evangelists. When they come to their homes, they talk to the children, they ask them about their faith. The kids are challenged by the work going on and they come to know the Lord. They can challenge kids in ways that parents sometimes can't or don't. Hospitality can be a blessing. Let us examine our lives and how comfortable we are with hospitality. We are called to hospitality. In closing, I hope each one of us here today can identify with Onesimus. We have run away from our Master, run away from our Creator, run away from our God. We were far from Him. We were looking for freedom in the wrong places. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have run away from God. For those of us that have come back to him, let us be thankful to the Holy Spirit that convicted us of the need to go back to him, like Paul did for Onesimus. Let us be thankful to the Holy Spirit and thank him for enabling us to be reconciled back to our Master. The gracious, sovereign hand of God reached out to Onesimus and made him his child and brought him back into, restored his relationship with Philemon. That very same God reaches out to each one of us. If there's anyone here that has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Master, as their Savior, has not accepted the forgiveness that he offers, has not accepted the opportunity to be brought back into a relationship with the God of heaven, with your Creator, I pray that today is that day, that you open your hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the message of the cross, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He has died for you. He wants you in a relationship with you. He wants you to come back to him, restored from being useless to being profitable for your Creator. If any of you would like to do that today, I would ask that after we finish here, you find time to talk to me or to one of the elders. We would love to share with you the gospel and help you on your way back to your Creator. Shall we pray? God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of Philemon. Thank you for reminding us that we belong to you. Thank you for reminding us that we ran away from you. Thank you for reminding us that when we are away from you, we are useless to the God of heaven. Father, we thank you for reminding us that you reach out to the lost. You are concerned about the lost. Your Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Father, pray that if there's one here that has not done this, pray that they would indeed accept your free gift of salvation and be brought back into a relationship with you and be made profitable in the days that are left. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us to refresh the saints. Thank you for challenging us regarding hospitality. Thank you for challenging us to share, to be witnesses for you, so that we would fully understand what we have in Christ Jesus. Help us to that end. We ask all this in and through the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.